Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week's first contestant is a low ABV Pilsner from the Swedish brewery Perfectly Squared Brewing. And I'm setting it up against a pretty low ABV Belgian Pale Ale assortment from the Brouwerij Carcom in the southern half of Belgium, in Wallonia, it seems. Or it is located in Flandern, albeit very, very, very close to Wallonia. The two beers are in review order, Dorfdal Pils, and the other one is Bink Blonde.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first contestant this week is the Pilsner beer assortment Dorfdal Pils from the Swedish brewery Perfectly Squared Brewing in Dalby, Scania, to be exact. That is just a couple of miles outside of my medieval hometown of Lund. Let me tell you, listeners, for a moment what it really means to live in a medieval town. You may picture it being a picturesque old town, cottage after cottage along cobblestone roads. Yes, there are cobblestone roads here, but they are almost never from the medieval era. The cobblestones of today are much more conform, but very picturesque, and they are not everywhere. There is one short curved road in Lund that has still got medieval cobblestones, probably purposely preserved. Let me suggest to you female listeners not to bring your high-heeled shoes if you ever visit my hometown of Lund with the intention to enter that short road. I can barely walk there with my sneakers without spraining my feet. The road is located very near the Fountain House in Lund, in the old town. The old town of Lund isn't all that old. It's old, but not that old. It is very beautiful. There is another old town in Lund, located a few blocks from this old town. It is called Nöden, or you could translate it to destitute. It is called this because in the olden days, the people who lived there, many of them Jews, were destitute people. But you figured that out already. Today it costs several millions to buy a home there, and it therefore is reserved for the rich. There is no fixer-upper in that neighborhood any longer. There used to be fixer-uppers in Nöden as late as in my youth. I am 58 years old in December. How time passed by. Another thing about the medieval city of Lund is that we have a dome church. Also, the roads in the old part of Lund are very narrow and crooked and connects a little here and there in the old north part of Lund. It's not like in New York, but that is the charm with it. But we have our housing projects too. The other day I heard a 90-plus-year-old lady speak about her living in the south of Lund, meaning Nöden, as a child. Today the south of Lund is several kilometers south of Nöden. A few of the buildings in Lund, apart from the Dome Church, are truly medieval. They are living buildings. At least one of them functions as a restaurant. But don't expect to get inside with a wheelchair, people. God no, it is like a tall stairway and narrow at that. But don't worry, I think they have a wooden annex for customers. That was a long story. Now let us get back to the review of the Dorfdal Pils beer assortment. The ingredients in the Dorfdal Pils beer assortment are water, barley malt, hops, and most certain yeast. It is apparently brewed according to the German Reinheitsgebot laws. But last time I checked, there is no such law in Dalby. The expiration date on this particular beer is late December 2023. Today it is mid-September 2023. The Dorfdal Pils beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters, i.e. about an 11 liquid ounces long-necked bottle. The one folded bottle label is mostly white in color. There is, as usual, a geometric logo on the label. The label spells Dorfdal Pils with golden letters. The Dorfdal Pils costs 25 kronor at Systembolaget. That is about $2.25. That is 82 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. How expensive isn't the dollar in this day and age? The preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is, according to Systembolaget, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The Dorfdal Pils has got a 4.6% ABV level. 4.6%. How about the experience then? Let's see here. I'm just going to check here. Yeah, it's running. So I'm opening it up. Was a little bit fast opened. Well, it doesn't matter. Let's see here. It's got a very large head, 5 fingers tall, and it's yellow and a little bit cloudy. It's a cloudy beer, very yellow. It's difficult to decide what aroma it's got, since it got such a large head on it. Let's see here. I don't think it's got a very, very much of an aroma. First impression. Well, it's an okay beer. It's for a 4.6% beer, it's very rich. It is very rich for a 4.6% beer ABV level. It's bread-like, I think. White bread. It's not very yeasty. But for a Pilsner, and it's a premium Pilsner, it says, this is a very good Pilsner, I must say. Probably the best Pilsner I've ever tried, actually. Pilsners usually aren't this good. Interesting. Taste on my palate. it's very hoppy, pretty bitter for a pilsner, especially perhaps. Yeah, I think so. It's not very sweet. Little bit, well, it's a pilsner, so not very bitter, but for a pilsner, it's bitter or hoppy. But it was an expensive pilsner, 20, what was it, 25 kronas, I think, or something. Let's see here, 25 kroner to $1 and 25 cents, I think. Well, I rather put some more money into buying a pilsner if it's good, really good like this one, than buying a Danish pilsner with the syrup in it for half the price. Otherwise, you can just as well not drink a pilsner at all. It's not candy-like. It's not... is it fruity? I don't know what it is, but not necessarily fruity, but it's a good taste. A little bit, what can it be? Let's see here. I'm gonna check. No, it's a Reinerskibot beer, so no fruitiness, fruit in it. But spices. I doubt it. Well, the hop is in it, but other spices, I don't think so. Undertone, no. It's a good taste, but no undertone, exactly. Carbonation level, I don't know. It's still got a large head, 4 fingers tall, and when I pour up, so I can't pour up the whole beer at once. It takes 3 times in an 11 ounces beer. Anyway, carbonation level, I have no idea yet. It's not creamy, it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. It's not dark roasted, of course. It's a pilsner. And it's filtered. Well balanced? Absolutely. If you can talk about a balanced pilsner, this is well balanced. Let's see here. There's not really any more taste flavors in this beer. It's a clean beer, so to speak. Yeah. But hoppy, very hoppy. So it's very good. So what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? I can't believe it's only 4.6% ABV level. I grade this beer for a pilsner, it's a 10. Definitely a 10 for a pilsner. But for a beer, it's an 8. And that's very good. That's a very good grading. Okay. Let's move on to our next contestant. Our second contestant for this week is the Bink Blonde beer assortment from the Belgian brewery Carcam Brouwerij. At Systembolaget's website, they state that the production has been taken over by the brewery De Ranke and moved to Dottignies in the west of Belgium. Still in Wallonia and still very, very, very close to Flanders. The ingredients in this beer assortment are water, barley malt, sugar, hops, and yeast. The expiration date on this particular beer is mid-January 2025. At present date, it is mid-September 2023. The Bink Blonde beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters, i.e. 11 liquid ounces long-necked slender bottle. The two-folded bottle label depicts a carriage and horses and some white town houses. It's framed in beige colors and green hop cones with the name Bink on top. Bink is apparently translated into honk, probably referring to that the hops they use when brewing this beer are added in the form of whole hop cones. The Bink Blonde beer assortment cost me 29 Swedish kronor, i.e. $2.60. That is 95 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. Systembolaget says that the preferred serving temperature on this beer is 12 to 14 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 54 to 57 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperature. The Bink Blonde beer assortment has got a 5.5% ABV. How about the experience then? One moment. Put in the earphones. Or whatever. Sweet aroma, yes. And it's sugar in it, so not unusual. It's got about, let's see here. 2.5 fingers tall head. And it's in color, it's yellow brownish or yellow muddy or something. Yellow, and it's cloudy, very cloudy. And the aroma is sugary. First impression, well, it's not that good of a beer. That's the first impression. It can change. It's rich for a 5.5% ABV beer. It's very rich for a 5.5% ABV level beer. Is it bread-like? Let's see. Maybe some wort bread-like taste in it. No, not really. It's not exactly bread-like. I wouldn't say it's like any bread I've tried. It's not very yeasty. It's malty. Taste of my palate is maltiness. Is it sweet or dry then? I'd say that it's surprisingly not sweet for being a beer brewed with sugar. I mean, beers are, I mean, I think it's not very sweet, actually. Is it bitter or hoppy? Not particularly. Neither one of them. It's not candy-like. It's not fruity particularly, no, I don't think so. There might be some spices in it, but not much. This is pretty much a standard regular beer, ale. There are some spices in it. Spices on my palate. A spice on my palate. And some herbs, probably the, yeah, I don't know. Carbonation level. Can't tell, not yet. And it takes some time. Usually I don't have that time, but wait a minute. Excuse me, there is some carbonation level in it, but we know that it's carbonated. Normal to high carbonation level, perhaps, I'm guessing. It's not creamy, it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. It's not dark roasted. It's a pale ale, so surprise, surprise. Filtered or unfiltered? Well, probably filtered. Okay, let's see here if there's any other flavor in it, or if there are any other flavors in it. It's a little bit straw-like, but that's not hardly a flavor, but it is. But other than that, I don't think there's any more flavors in it or taste in it. So what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? It's kind of featureless and normal. So, but it's well made at the same time. Actually, it's better than I thought it would be. Looking at the bottle, using my experience in doubling with beers. Well, I'd say on a good day, 8 devils, but not today, 7 devils today. Because I think so. That's it. I grade this beer 7 devils out of 10 possible, because it doesn't stick out in any way. So, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. This week's lesson is a triple lesson. None of the lessons does necessarily have any connection with the other two. Rasmus Paludan vs. Salwan Momikya, and concerning cybersecurity. And last, is there a war coming? Rasmus Paludan vs. Salwan Momikya. What about this clown, Rasmus Paludan, who provocatively and deliberately torched several Kurans at different occasions in Sweden? Did he violate the law in Sweden or not? In an article by Esser Ekot on September 10, 2023, you could read, translated, "Investigation against Paludan is on hold. Does not want to be interrogated." It was after a demonstration in Malmö with, among other things, the burning of the Quran on Easter 2022 that Paludan was reported for violating the law in Sweden, the Swedish law of incitement against an ethnic group. Quote, in quote, "I think it's unfortunate. I, like many others, want the investigation to come to a completion as quickly as possible," says prosecutor Adrian Combier Haag. Prosecutor Combier Haag says that already in late 2022, his investigation was so long gone that Paludan could be interrogated. And because of the envisioned threats, the police organized an extensive security arrangement to be able to carry out the interrogation. Another opening was booked in March 2023 to go through with an interrogation, but neither in the first opening in 2022 nor in the second opening in 2023 did Paludan dare to participate. Esser Ekot has tried to get in contact with Rasmus Paludan without him replying. Of course. Earlier in a comment to Dagens Nyheter, Today's News, he has stated that he doesn't want to be interrogated in Sweden because, quote by Rasmus Paludan, "the Swedish police doesn't protect him," end quote. Curtains for Rasmus. He must have known that he would be well protected, but he lacked the courage to come back here, even for a very short and much protected visit. Apparently, it is one thing to burn a Quran or two in more or less obscurity, but another thing to face reality. I don't think that he knew what road he chose in life. He will forever have a target painted on his back. He thought that he would go safe in his native country of Denmark. What reality does he live in? What good did it do him then? It was a one-way road, and he will probably end up in an early grave. He is a pitiful person. But the real question here isn't who he is. The real question is, why don't the Swedish authorities make a proper request for an extradition of Paludan by the Danish authorities with the purpose of interrogating Paludan in Sweden? Is there no international treaty for that, which Denmark and Sweden have both signed? And if not, couldn't the Swedish police interrogate Paludan in Denmark? Should we just let him get away with this bullshit? If he ever wants to visit Sweden again, he is welcome to burden the Swedish taxpayers. As a matter of fact, as for the time being, he is probably safer when in Sweden than when in Denmark. But he cannot again be allowed to damage our society, to damage our society, I think was his actual goal. He recently said himself, quote, "I'm finished with that country," meaning Sweden, end quote. Fuck him. As for the other Quran torture, the Department of Justice confirms that Salwan Momika has been requested to be extradited by Iraq. The request came via Interpol on July 18 and was handed over to the Attorney General at the end of August. But we're now in mid-September. What's happening between July 18 and September 14? Momika attracted a lot of attention by burning the Quran at 10 different occasions in several Swedish cities. And he is also planning several new Quran burnings in the near future. So please, will someone put an end to this madness? Momika does not sneak around like Rasmus Paludan did. Momika has got a backbone. We shouldn't extradite him to a country that doesn't even admit refuted refugees back into their country. Unless they are gorgeous women or little girls, of course. But Momika shouldn't be allowed to continue with his torching of Qurans in Sweden. Why won't he go to Denmark and burn some Qurans instead? Fuck Iraq too. The second lesson for this week I call Concerning Cyber Security. Carl-Oskar Bohlin from the Conservative Party and Minister of Civil Defense agrees with a call from MSB that Sweden must improve cooperation on cybersecurity between authorities and private experts. MSB being an abbreviation for Ministry of Civil Defense, but in Swedish. Quote, "We must face cyber threats with an expanded public-private collaboration," says Carl-Oskar Bohlin. Carl-Oskar Bohlin cannot yet say what any additional investments will look like, but refers to the next budget presentation. Good thinking there, but keep in mind that not only cybersecurity is important, security classification is equally important. Otherwise, you can get networks of malignant people who get inside the system's walls. Say that five believed to be private, state-sponsored computer experts stop a possible reactor failure at Oskarshamn's nuclear power plant. An attempted failure that appears to be pre-engineered by the Russian military secret service GRU or some other state apparatus in Russia. Say that simultaneously we are facing what we consider to be a possible near future military airdrop of materiel, equipment and soldiers, together with amphibious operations against Gotland or Skåne. GRU now has five by us highly trusted moles in our organizations, which can do great damage to us at one or another stage of the enemy airdrop, disembarkation and landing operation. And there may be many other, albeit less effective, course of actions to get moles into our organizations. This means that considerable cognitive resources and probably financial resources must be allocated to remedy the mole situation in our organizations during a critical moment of our defense. So it thus seems that it is better to hire talents in this field of technology. And the sources for this are all Sveriges Ekot. The third lesson for this week I call Is There a War Coming? Attention! I practically never engage in exact fortune telling, but very recent news suggests that there might come a war within short. Of course, they don't say it out loud, but the signs are there. But I don't know whether it will be an American war against Iran or if it will be a war against Saudi Arabia. One of the most important signs is that Israel did an air attack on the Russian naval base in Tartus in Syria. Israel has always tiptoed around the Russian naval base in Tartus, otherwise. Another attack took place the same day against targets in Hama, following the attack on the naval base in Tartus. Hama's biggest asset is that it is a crossroad junction connected by 5 major highways, and the Orontes River is floating by the city of 300,000 plus inhabitants. Hama is located just 84 kilometers or 52 miles east of Tartus. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken may have been throwing dust in our eyes, speaking on the podcast Pod Save the World. Blinken said, quote, "Normalization, any of the efforts that are going on to improve relations between Israel and its neighbors cannot be a substitute for Israel and the Palestinians resolving their differences and having a much better future for Palestinians. And in our judgment, of course, that needs to involve a two-state solution." End quote. The very same day, Antony Blinken signed off on sanctions waivers, paving the way for international banks to unfreeze $6 billion in Iranian funds, the Associated Press reported on Monday. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham recently urged former President Donald Trump to back the efforts of the Biden administration to negotiate an Israel-Saudi normalization agreement, saying it would transcend partisan politics. Quote in the article, "I told President Trump, this is the natural extension of the Abraham Accords, and if we can do it, let's do it. It doesn't matter how it gets done, on whose watch it gets done. It'd be a good thing for the stability of the Middle East and our own national security. And President Trump deserves his fair share of the credit," Graham said. The senator said he told the former president that the Biden administration continuing his Middle East agenda was the height of flattery, end quote, World Israel News. Who says that Trump cannot be a useful idiot? Not I, but he may be an idiot. But as I said, I don't know who this supposed war will be against. And I actually think that neither do Biden and Blinken know which of the two they are going to hit. But they have probably made up plans for both scenarios in the Pentagon. As World Israel News reports this very same Monday, quote, "The United States recently sent armored personnel carriers, or APCs, and weapons to the Palestinian Authority with Israel's permission," according to a Monday report in the Palestinian Al-Quds news site, end quote. China does what China does, and U.S. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall said in a Monday speech that China is preparing for war with the United States. Monday speech again. Frank Kendall is the 26th Secretary of the Air Force, responsible for organizing, training, and equipping the U.S. Air and Space Forces. In this capacity, he directs the Department of the Air Force's annual budget exceeding $173 billion, provides air and space forces to combatant commanders for global military operations, and is accountable for the welfare of nearly 700,000 active duty, guard, reserve, and civilian airmen and guardians and their families. The sources for this were World Israel News and United with Israel. My name is Roger Klang. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile.